Before I trusted Christ as my Savior, I was confused about a lot of things. I had never gone to church but two times ever, and I trusted Christ when I was a sophomore in college. But I had this idea before I put my faith in Christ that everybody would stand before God and it'd just be judgment. He'd be sitting on his big throne. Everybody'd be in this long line, and you stood there in front of God. And if you did more good than bad, you'd go to heaven. If you did more bad than good, you wouldn't go to heaven. Well, I was wrong about that, because salvation is not based on our works or our goodness or anything like that. It's based on grace through faith. And Ephesians 2:8-9 says, by grace you've been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we're saved by faith and not works. But there is a truth that believers, actually the truth that every person will stand before Jesus Christ, but it's not dealing with salvation. It's dealing with our works. It's dealing with our service for Christ. It is, because this is not the basis of eternal life. The basis of eternal life is faith. This is the basis for rewards. So think about this. Here's some questions. Did we serve Christ? When we stand before Jesus, did we live for him? Did we use the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given us to touch lives for Jesus Christ? In fact, we will be rewarded for our service. I want you to think about it. We're gonna look at a lot of different things in the next 6 weeks and think about this truth. If we have served, we will be rewarded. If not, if we haven't served, there won't be rewards. We want to see how this fits together. Now, I want you to understand, we hear people say things like this. They say, if salvation is by faith, and it is, and if salvation is for all time and we're saved forever, and we are, then some people say, well, then what difference does it make on how you live if you go into heaven because you put your faith in Christ, not because you did any works or anything? And if we're all going to heaven and we're all going to be the same in heaven, what difference does it make whether we serve or not? Well, the truth is this. It is true that by faith in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life and we're saved and we're saved forever and we all go to heaven. But it is not true that we're all the same in heaven. There will be rewards. We will gain based on rewards. We'll have places of service and ministry, not only in the kingdom, but for all eternity. Now, just think about what I just said. Your salvation is a gift by faith in Christ. Your place of responsibility, service, and let me even say it in this way, and even your closeness to God is going to be based on your service for him. I'm going to throw something out. We'll talk about it in several weeks. There's a place in Hebrews that uses the word partners. It's the word metakoi in Greek, and it talks about those who are partners with Christ. It's not talking about believers. All believers are believers, but not all believers are partners with Christ. And we're going to talk about that because that has to do with your service and your ministries and using the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given you. So I want you to understand something. The person that trusts in Jesus Christ as Savior and has eternal life and uses their gifts, talents, and abilities, shares their faith, makes disciples, tries to touch lives for Jesus Christ, when they stand before Christ, he can probably say, well done, good and faithful servant. There are believers who trust Jesus Christ as Savior and they never served him. They're not involved in anything. They don't use their gifts, talents, and abilities. They basically say, listen, I've trusted Christ. I know I'm going to heaven, but I don't want to do all that stuff. When they stand before Jesus Christ, he is not going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. In fact, we're going to see, he's going to say, aren't you ashamed? And we're going to see it as we go through. Let me give you kind of the outline of the study. We're going to look first this morning at introduction, and we're going to see a contrast between salvation and discipleship, just to make sure we got that. And then we're going to see the charge to get rewards, and we're just going to barely get into that. And then in the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about getting the rewards. We're going to talk about where we get the rewards. We're going to talk about the basis of the rewards. We're even going to talk about what the rewards are, and then we'll end up our study with some applications. And, of course, each week there'll be applications and sense. So here we are, and let's talk about, let's just say this is the introduction. And here's what I want you to think about. When you think about rewards, there's a lot of misunderstanding. When you say to people, you know, one day you're going to stand before Jesus and get rewarded. There's some people, they don't even know what you're talking about. In fact, there are a number of views. And here's a view. Here's a first view is that some people believe that salvation is the reward. They believe this. They say there are many people that believe that if you're going to go to heaven and you're going to be with Jesus Christ, that's the reward. And so they see rewards as the fact that you live right and you get to go to heaven. If you do good, keep your faith, persevere to the end, your reward is salvation. There are people who actually believe that salvation is the reward. Let me give you two different views on it. One is you can trust Christ and you're saved, but if you live in sin, if you don't do what's right, if you do wrong, you don't do enough right, you lose your salvation. So salvation is the reward of living righteously. There are many people you know that believe they can lose their salvation. They would say you can trust in Jesus Christ, but if you don't live right, you lose it. So salvation is your reward for living righteously. There's a second view that says you can trust Christ, but you must do good works and you must persevere in the faith. You must keep on doing for good works. If not, you were never were saved. You just thought you were. So once again, your good works are what make sure that you've got salvation. So the reward of salvation comes from your works. So works equal rewards and salvation. So they see salvation as the reward, okay? There's a second view. Second view is that there's no thoughts of rewards at all. There's some people you can talk to and you can say to them, you know, if you were to die when you get up to heaven, you're going to stand before Jesus and he's going to reward you. And they'll go, I've never heard of that. And I've talked with Christians that said, I've never even heard of rewards. I've never even heard any of that aspect at all. I just know that, you know, you go to heaven and you'll be with Jesus. They've never heard of aspects of rewards at all. There's a third view that says rewards are selfish. That if you say to people, listen, I want you to live in such a way that when you stand before Jesus, he's going to reward you. You say, well, that's selfish. Why? I'm going to serve Jesus Christ because I love him, not because he's going to reward me. And that sounds good at first, but that's not what the Bible says. See, and so some people say rewards are selfish, but you can't find anywhere in the scripture that says rewards are selfish. In fact, number four is that rewards are for faithful service. And the Bible actually says, run the race that you get the prize. The Bible says, what you want to stand before your Savior and you want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And we're going to see that. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, this is where we are. Look what it says, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the rewarding stand. That's where we're going to stand before our Savior, so that each one may be recompensed. That really means to be given back. We might say that each one may be rewarded for his deeds in the body according to what he's done, whether good or... And the word bad there actually means worthless. It means like rotten fruit. So there's some things that are good you'll be rewarded for. There's some things that are rotten fruit you won't be rewarded for. We'll talk more about that later on. So the Bible says, run the race so that you get the prize. So understand, as we look at our study of rewards, we find some people say salvation is the reward. That means good works bring salvation. We don't believe that. Some people say that there's no such thing as rewards. We never even heard of them. The Bible talks a lot about rewards. Some people say rewards are selfish. When you look at the scripture, reward, Bible never says that. In fact, the Bible says rewards are for faithful service. And here's a great truth. Every believer will give an account of how they lived this life. Romans 14, 11 and 12, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall give praise, so that each one will give an account of himself to God. That means every one of us in this room, me and you, one day you will give an account of how you lived your life as a Christian. Whether you were faithful, whether you live righteously, whether you use your gifts, talents, and abilities, whether you served, whether you used your possessions, your times, everything for the glory of God, or did you just go through life? Which many, many believers, people have trusted Christ, they have eternal life, and they never serve him. They don't live for him. And so you, each one of us, will give an account of our lives. That takes us to the second part that I just wanted you to see this morning, and there's a contrast. We all know this, and we can go fairly quickly through this part. There's a contrast between salvation and discipleship. Remember, understand the difference, because some people get confused. So many people misunderstand. When the person says that salvation is the reward, they don't understand the difference between salvation and discipleship. I want you to think about this. Salvation is our eternal relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's a gift. How do we have eternal life? By faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life. We trust in Jesus Christ for eternal life. That's salvation. It's not our works. It's not our goodness. Every one of us in this room, if you said, I'm going to heaven, you're going to heaven not because what you have done, but what Jesus Christ has done for you. He died for you. He paid for sin. He rose again. He offers you a gift. and you've taken the gift of eternal life. Salvation is a gift. But discipleship, that's our service. That's our service for Christ. That's what we say, I want my life to count for Christ. That's what we say, I want to use my gifts, talents, abilities. I want to use my time, my possessions, my money. I want to use everything. I want my life to count for Christ. That's service and reward. So there is a big distinction. Salvation deals with our eternal destiny, having an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. Discipleship deals with our Christian life, our service, and our rewards. Let's think about it. Salvation cost us what? Nothing. We're saved by grace through faith plus what? Nothing. Exactly. It's a gift. If you could do anything for something, it cannot be a gift. If Caesar said, I got you a gift, but you need to do this for it, it's no longer what? It's not a gift. God didn't say, I'm going to give you eternal life, but you've got to do the following four things. God says, I give you eternal life and you shall never perish. So salvation is a gift that costs us absolutely nothing. It is not based on our what? It works. It is based on faith in Jesus Christ who promised us eternal life. Now, in contrast, discipleship cost us our lives. We take up our cross. We die to ourselves. See, and that's one reason people get confused. They'll read a verse where Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, and they think that's salvation. I know people that say, well, salvation's following Jesus. No, salvation is living for Jesus? Yeah, I thought salvation was a gift. I thought salvation was free. I thought salvation was by grace. That's not by grace. In fact, Jesus says, if you do not take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. He didn't say you can't be my child. Okay, so discipleship costs us our lives. It is not a gift, but we offer our lives in service for Jesus Christ. Remember Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice. He's talking to believers who have taken the grace of God, who have trusted in Jesus Christ, who have eternal life. And then we as believers who have eternal life, taken the gift, we now say, I want my life to count for Christ. That's the idea of discipleship. And as believers, we offer in our lives. Let me give you an illustration. You work all month. You have a job. You get there. It's 8 to 5, let's say. It's Monday through Friday. You get up every Monday. You go to work. And at the end of the month, your boss comes in and says, I have a check for you. I have a gift for you. And you go, it's not a what? It's not a gift. You just worked a whole month for this. See? And so if somebody says you need to do good works and then God gives you the gift of eternal life, that's not the gift of eternal life. That's the works of eternal life. Works are for rewards. Salvation is a gift. That's exactly it. Let me tell you, if you understand that basic truth, you already are solid as a rock, and you're going to find that most people you deal with day in and day out do not have the understanding of salvation being a gift by faith alone and Christ alone for eternal life, and the whole idea of Christian life and rewards and works being based on our service for Christ. They bring those together. They confuse those things. And let me tell you something. Here's the key. I want you to think about it. Salvation is a gift. Discipleship is service rewards. If salvation and discipleship are confused, and they are with most people, we have two problems. You know what they are? Here it is. Number one, that is works for salvation. If you have to repent of your sins, give your life to Jesus, walk down an aisle, make a public profession, get baptized, serve him, that's works for salvation. If you have to do any of those things in order to be saved, that's works for salvation. Or if you say, I've got to keep on keeping on, I've got to keep on doing this, I've got to keep on doing this, that's works for salvation. The second problem is there's no assurance. Listen, I had a person come to me the other day and just said, if you don't do good works, you're not saved. And I said, how many good works? And for how long? When do you know you're not saved? You say you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, but I have to make sure I'm doing good works in order to stay saved. Well, then how do you have any assurance of salvation? You can't have any assurance of salvation. So whenever people mix up grace of God and eternal life and service and discipleship, whenever they mix those up, You can have work. You have work for salvation, and you have no assurance. I hope every one of you in this room, listen, that you have, that you understand. You've put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, and you know you're saved, and you're saved forever. And you understand that how you live now has nothing to do with your eternal life salvation. It has to do with your rewards when you stand before Jesus Christ. And that's the key. Our service has no bearing on our eternal life, but it has the bearing on our rewards. When you stand before Jesus, what do you want to hear him say? I'm glad you worked your way and you made it here. Is that what you want to hear him say? No, he's giving you the grace of God all the way. He says, come up, my child. All who are thirsty, come. Take the water of life without cost. Exactly right, freely. But when we stand before him, we want to hear him say, well done, what? Good and faithful servant. This has nothing to do with salvation. Has nothing to do with salvation. We're going to touch on a thing. I think I'll try to throw this in this study over the 6 weeks and maybe, but there's the whole idea of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you know, there's some parables where somebody goes to this marriage supper and they don't have on the right clothes and they're cast out into outer darkness. And everybody thinks that's somebody who's trying to get into heaven, but they don't make it. That's not what that's talking about at all. That's the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's the metakoi who get to come to the marriage supper, and the ones who weren't faithful don't get the cup to the marriage supper. Just look at the passages. There's a passage that is not a parable, and then there's two parables. So there's three times in Jesus' teaching he deals with the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you realize that the marriage supper of the Lamb, when it says Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and others will sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, not every believer will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. The metakoi will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You want to have supper with Jesus? What do you got to do? You got to serve him. That's exactly right. All right, one last thing, because time is going to be running out in just a minute. So we can the charge is to get rewards. That's the charge. God wants us to have rewards. God wants us for him to look at us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. We must realize that our service for Christ is not the basis for salvation. It is the basis for our rewards. I want you to just stop for a minute. This is just you thinking. If you were to stand before Jesus Christ right now, would you feel like that you have this life that you have, that you are using the gifts, the talents, the abilities, the time, the money, the possessions, every aspect of your life? Have you taken your life and said, Lord, use me for your glory, and you're just trying to be a faithful servant of Christ? Do you feel like that if you stood before Jesus right now, he would look at you and say, well done, good and faithful servant? Or would you say, well, I mean, I've just barely come to church? You know, the average believer, in the United States, how many times do you think they come to church a month? Average believer in the United States comes less than 1.5 times per month. They come about 5 times a semester. That's the average believer in the United States. Now, you got to think, if that's average, there are a whole bunch of you that come every Sunday. That means there's a whole bunch of Christians that come about once or twice or 3 times or 4 times a year. I've talked to some people and I'll say, how'd you like our study on Galatians? And they go, gosh, I only got 2 lessons. We're in it about 9 months, but they only came twice. There'll be some people who'll say, I wish I could have been there for that study on rewards. It was only 6 lessons, 6 weeks. Some people will be here once. Some people will be here twice. Some people get the whole study. When we stand before Christ, are we going to say, I just didn't really have enough time to do stuff for you? I mean, I just had everything else I needed to do. Really? Really? That might work now. It ain't going to work then. I'm going to tell you, it's not going to work then. This is a challenge for all of us. And we're going to see, what does Paul say? He says, get rewards. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Okay, we're going to see Paul encourages the Corinthians to live in such a way that they'll be rewarded. So turn to, when you're in 2 Corinthians, just flip back to 1 Corinthians 9. We're just going to touch on this. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes, and then we'll get into a lot more detail next week. But I hope that as you go through these next 5 weeks, that you'll be encouraged and you'll be challenged and we'll be excited. Because, listen, let me ask you something. Let's think about the Corinthian church for just a second. Boy, they were on fire and rolling, right? Corinthian church? No, in fact, they had every problem you could name. Every problem you could name. They had factions. They were drunk at the Lord's Supper. They were denying the resurrection. They were having illicit sexual relations. They were suing one another. They had all kinds of divisions throughout the Bible. They were eating meat offered to idols, whichever, whatever that means. But anyway, there are all kinds of things that were going on. And Paul doesn't say to them, you guys stink. He says, you need to live in such a way that you will get rewarded. He didn't say, you guys aren't real Christians. He didn't say, you don't look like real Christians. I think you're not a Christian. And we got people today that if you don't live exactly right, what do they say about you? You're not a Christian. Listen, if you trusted in Jesus Christ, you're saved and saved forever. But there's a whole bunch of people who are saved and saved forever that aren't living very right. Paul says, I want you to run the race. Look at verse 24, 9:24. Do you not know that all those who run in a race, only one gets the prize? I want you to run in such a way that you get what? That you may win, that you get the prize. That's, he wants them to be rewarded. He wants us to be rewarded. Look at verse 25. I love 25. He says, everybody who competes in the games, that's like Olympics. The Olympics are coming up in Rio in about 2 months, right? So everyone who competes in the Olympics exercises self-control. If you're going to be in the Olympic Games, you got to have self-control. They do all this to get this little perishable wreath that wears out. But when we run the race to get a prize, our prize is what? It's an imperishable wreath. It's a reward. We're going to talk about rewards. We're going to talk about what they are. We're going to talk about crowns. We're going to see all of those things. Now, I want you to see something that is amazing, and that's verse 27. Look what Paul says. He says, I discipline my body. In other words, I do what I'm supposed to do. I make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be what? Disqualified. This is the word that means lose your prize. It has nothing to do with salvation. I have people say, if you don't live right, you don't get to go to heaven. Remember, heaven's not the reward. Heaven is a gift. This is a person who doesn't live right. Paul says, I don't want to live in such a way that I get disqualified. That God says, I'm not going to use you right now because you're not living the way you should. So I want you to understand something. When we stand before Jesus Christ, we can either hear him say, what? Well done, good and faithful servant. Or we will be ashamed at his coming. 1 John 2:28. Now for me, Lord willing, I want to hear him say, what? Well done. I want to live in such a way, and we all want to live in such a way that we use the gifts, talents, and abilities that God's given us, that we use the possessions, the time, that we use everything, and we say, Lord, take my life. Use me for your glory. I want my life to count for you. I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, I don't know why I thought this was so important, this was so important, and this was so important when I ignored the most important thing of all. So more next time, we'll look at that verse, that passage in more detail. Let me give you some things that we've seen, okay? Here's what we've seen. We've seen that salvation is a gift. Discipleship and service are not the same as salvation. Salvation is a gift. Discipleship and service are not the same. We've also seen that rewards deal with our service for Christ, not our salvation. That's a key. You know that. The third thing that we've seen that God gives rewards to those who faithfully serve him, which is an amazing thing. Because he gives us the power to serve him. He gives us the spiritual gifts. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He puts us into situations. He uses us. And then he rewards us. We go, well, thank you very much. Okay. And then number four, we want to live and serve so that we may hear him say, well done, and receive rewards.